and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Very good out there. Did someone say amen? Yes. Okay. We are starting this week a six-week Lenten sermon series. I do this because Lent is supposed to be for every one of us, me first, a season of learning, of growing in our faith. And Armenian church worship is extraordinary, beautiful, and meaningful. But if you know, and we know, what we're saying, the language, the movements, and the meaning. So this study is dedicated to helping us find our voice in liturgy, if you want, to find our voice. Not just the voice of the choir, we're going to get to that, but also the voice of your prayer before God in this ancient tradition of the Armenian church. Okay? And so it's going to be, start with the fundamentals, because we have a mixed classroom here of different ages, but the fundamentals are always the most important that I need to go over all the time, so that I can participate in worship and grow from it as well. So there's five parts of worship in the Badarak of the Armenian church, and we'll get to those, and we'll learn those. First thing that needs to be said, though, is what we do on Sunday, all right, it is ancient and it's Armenian, but it's not a museum. We are not in a museum. It's ancient and Armenian, but it is alive in the present. Number two, the Badarak is performed, but it is not a performance. It's a prayer that is also sung. So again, this is given and ordered by God, and truly, the truest thing I've ever said, this Badarak has the power to change you. It has the power to strengthen you your whole life. It has the power to grow with you and for God to grow within you. And that's why we do it. And so I'm going to help us play our parts over the week of the weeks of Lent, and we're going to look at the parts of Badarak. But we're also going to focus a tiny bit on language. We're going to focus a little bit each week on a sacred vessel or a vestment. And we're going to look at a little bit of theology, liturgical theology. How many liturgical theology nerds do I have in the church? I'm the only one? Okay, fine. I'm a liturgical theology nerd, and I hope to make you all by the end of this. Okay, let's do this. Let's introduce the Badarak, the Sunday worship as a whole, before we get into its parts next week. And so, I told you we'd pick one liturgical item each week and look at how its meaning encapsulates the session. And if we're talking about the whole Badarak, I can't think of anything that summarizes the entire Badarak you had to in one object than this. This should be familiar to you. What is this? Youth in the youth arts class? Eden, what is this? You made it in September. This is called Nishkhar. It's obviously it's a stylized one as an ornament, but this is just like the communion wafer looks that the deacons make each week. Except we have one with a stamp that makes it look just like this. What is this on it? Yes? It's a cross. The one we do with communion a lot of times, it has a cross, and it also what is on the cross. Go ahead. On the cross, Jesus is on the cross, the one that we use for communion. So here you have the entire story and the actual reason why we do Badarak at all in the first place. Let me review the story with you. Jesus lived a life like no one ever lived, ever. He lived truthfully. He lived mercifully. He lived lovingly, freely. But the forces of darkness in the world, they rejected him and rebelled. And Jesus knew that the evil ones were coming for him, and the henchmen and his henchmen were coming for him. So he called a Last Supper, right? You've heard of the Last Supper. Jesus said, we'll have one Last Supper together. And at that supper on Thursday of Holy Week, the day before he gave himself up, he gathered all his students and told them he would be taken away from the world and violently. But still, this was their last meal together. And he insisted that even though there were hate and lies and violence, he would defeat those with love and truth and mercy. And he promised these would always fill and fulfill and sustain believers till the end of times, long after he left earth. And this is what he said, and this is what we say every Sunday. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Drink this wine, this is my blood. Believe it's my body and blood, my very life. Do this always in remembrance of me, in memory of me. And by the mysterious power of God's grace, it is. And so this is the living, beating heart of worship. The 2.5 billion Christians around the world do this. Right? No person, I don't think, and this is a great proof for Christianity, no person would have thought of this. This is so strange. It's so not of this world that we would eat and drink of the body and blood and get the life of God. But this is how God wanted to do it, and God's God, and I'm not, and you're not, and we're not. So that's why we call this a great mystery. And you can't grasp a mystery, but you can be grasped by it. But it's not just words, right, with Jesus. Jesus didn't say anything that he wasn't willing to do, and so Jesus gave his life away on that Friday for our life. And because when God does something, it doesn't end like when we do things. When God does something, it goes forever. And so we continue what God has done in Sunday worship with the bread and wine, his body and blood, for the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, which you just did. So if you had to give the one answer, one, if you like short answers, and you had to answer the question, why do we do Balarak? The answer is because Jesus very specifically said to do it. He said it in Matthew, he said it in Mark, he said it in Luke. He said it in John, although John, as always, just deepens and continues what was said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Paul also said it in Corinthians. So now, the whole Christian world tells and retells this story, lives and relives this ongoing story of God for 2,000 years and counting, and it shapes people's hearts and what they believed. It shaped history and how the world goes. And even though the story of it is exactly the same, if you go into any church in the Philippines, if you go into a church in Ethiopia, if you go into the church in Italy, it's all the same in its principles, but there's a diversity of the world church, and we all bring little flavors and accents to it. Before we get into the Armenian accent, let's talk about what other churches call Sunday worship. Does anybody know, give me an example of what another church besides ours calls Sunday worship? The big one is Roman Catholic, because that's the biggest church in the world. And yes, Jason, thank you. They call it Mass. That's a good word. It focuses on, in Latin, apparently Missa is what the priest says at the end of the service, go out into the world. Now you've been filled by Christ, go out and do it. It's like Matthew's last words of his gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's Mass. What do Greeks say? Anybody know what Greeks say? They're the second biggest old one. They say, the reason why we say divine liturgy is from them. Liturgia means the work of the people. So just like you go to work and work for your daily bread, we go to work at church and come together, and it's happy work. It's a joyful duty. That's liturgy. Greek and Catholics also, have you heard the word Eucharist? Anyone here? Kids, you heard the word Eucharist? Very good. Eucharist. That comes from Greek, and that means, in Greek it's Evharistia, which is thanksgiving. So that means thanksgiving. Gohabanutyun. Okay, those are great, but what's the name for the Armenian church Sunday worship? We've talked about this before. It's Badarak, and what does Badarak mean? Divine liturgy? That's begging the question. What does it actually mean, literally? We talked about this. It's beautiful. It means sacrifice or offering. And this is not unique to us, but it's unique to the Eastern churches that grew together in the Syriac language tradition, because Kurbana is Badarak in Syriac, and it means sacrifice or offering. Why is that a very important way? Who's the sacrifice? What's the sacrifice? What's the offering? Who was on here? Jesus. So Jesus was the offering and sacrifice of who? Whose sacrifice was he? He was God the Father's sacrifice. He was his own sacrifice as his son and a gift to us. And we are to make offering and sacrifice back to him. You see how that works? God makes his offering and sacrifice. We come to church and make our offering and sacrifice. We give our time, we give our talent, we give our treasure, we give our voices, we give our attention to giving back to God, and then not just Sunday, but every day of our lives thereafter. Okay? So that's the call and response that is sort of part of Sunday worship. And again, the amazing part is that unlike school or work or other parts of life, sports, those all do something for you, but Badarak does something to you over time. It changes you and raises you to be strong children, sons and daughters of God. And that's what happens over time. Okay, so now let's get specific. I gave you one liturgical item. I gave you Badarak, one word. Now I have one part of a hymn. In your bulletin inserts and on your, Nora, can you pass those out? There's, and Sophie and Ellen, there should be on your row someplace unless you're sitting on it. Okay, can you just pass those out? Everyone, in your bulletins, if you have them, there's an insert in your bulletin that looks like this. Please get that out if you'd like. And if you don't have one of these, it's okay. Turn to page 23 in your Badarak books if you want to follow along. Okay. This is Marmin Derunakan. I want us, we're just going to read the first orange line and listen to how it sounds. Marmin derunakan yev aryun pekçakan ga arachi. Marmin, body. Derunakan, der is Lord. Derunakan is lordly. Yev, we know that means and. Aryun, what does that mean? Blood. Perkchakan. Perkich is savior. Perkchakan is salvific, salvation. And then Ga. Everybody knows Ga. Inch Gachika. Ga is here, is before us, stands right there. Arachi, in front of us. Okay? So now, let's say it together. Not just, yes, question? Go ahead. What's that? Beautifully said. Wherever God goes, we go. Wherever we go, God goes. That's a beautiful thing. You're going to come up here next time. No, thank you. All right. All right, so everyone in here, children and adults alike, not yet, soon. As you can see, guys, we're also trying out for the choir here. No pressure, though. But please say the words with me. Let's repeat them together. Marmin derunagan yev aryun perkchagan ga arachi. Now, we're going to say it this time with rhythm. We're going to say it with the rhythm, not with melody, but just with the rhythm of how the words go in the hymn. And I'll say it, and then you can repeat it. It's like this. Marmin derunagan yev aryun perkchagan ga arachi. So let's try that. Marmin derunagan yev aryun perkchagan ga arachi. We're almost there. Now here is the actual melody. It goes like this. Mar min de ru na gan yev ar yu per cha gan ga a ra chi. Let's try that together. Mar min de ru na gan yev ar yu per cha gan ga a ra chi. That was very beautiful. Give yourselves, well, don't clap. give yourselves a nice glad prayer. Now, Pierre, step on in the choir, our beautiful choir. Tell us how you, show us how this sounds for you guys. They can't stop. It makes you keep on singing. But we're just going to sing the first part. And now, guys, here's the great thing. That was just a start. Now the whole church knows how easy it is to participate in the Divine Liturgy, the Supadarak. See this QR code? If you take a picture of this, it will take you to our website where there is an interactive study on learning this song. It shows you the words. There's index cards so that you can learn the meaning. And most importantly, Der David of Chicago, he made this video where the words come very slowly and you just sing along with the video. So I encourage everyone at home to do this, children and adults alike, and you can continue this. And next time, we'll start with the first of the five parts of Badarak, the preparation, okay? And one thought on that. When we have dinner guests at our house, we do lots of preparation. The question and the cliffhanger is, what preparation do we do when God is our guest and we are God's guest? That's what we will talk about next Sunday.